In the last couple of weeks, we've taken a break from our series in the book of Acts because Easter season, we've talked about Jesus' death, suffering, and his resurrection. But this morning, we're going to continue our series in the book of Acts. Remember that Acts is the story of the early church. What happened after Jesus died and rose again? What were the first Christians like, the first churches? And so we've taken this journey, the first church in Jerusalem, and now the gospel is going out to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, this morning our text is Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. So turn in your Bibles, the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This is a unique story in the Bible, in the New Testament. You see, a lot of stories of Jesus and the apostles are their ministry to multitudes, throngs, crowds, the masses, hundreds and thousands of people. What we have here is an example of Philip's ministry to a single individual, this Ethiopian eunuch. And that's why the title of my message this morning is Personal Evangelism. You know, I think it's easy for us when we read about Jesus' ministry, the ministry of the apostles, Peter, John, Paul. It's easy for us to say, well, that's great, but, you know, I don't have thousands of people lining up to see me, to hear me speak. I can't ever do that. And that may be true. But can you share with one person? Amen. Do you know one person that you can tell about Jesus Christ? If we're honest with ourselves, every one of us, we know more than one, don't we? We know a lot more than just one. And so our story this morning, we have an example of one-on-one evangelism. And Philip is a remarkable guy. I'm going to talk about him a little bit more in just a minute. But Philip is a great example to us as we watched the story. God leads him to the single individual. He tells him the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And this man believes and wants to be baptized right then and there. What a great example to us of personal evangelism that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, God may use you to reach the masses, or he might use you just to reach one. But the main thing is, are you a witness of Jesus Christ to those whom God brings in contact with you? And this morning, we're going to look at Philip as an example of personal evangelism. And I've noticed three things. I'm sure there's more than three, but I've chosen three things about Philip. Three aspects, three characteristics of Philip that I believe are part of the reason why God used him so mightily. And the first one is that Philip was radical. Philip was radical. You know, it's interesting, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, if you remember my first sermon in the book of Acts, of course none of you remembers that, but I do. But I talked about Acts 1:8. If there was one verse in the book of Acts that you could memorize, I would encourage you to memorize Acts 1:8. That's the last words. Those are the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses," and I put numbers here, "you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness testifies of what they've seen and heard. I want you to be my witnesses. Testify of me, what you've seen and heard and experienced with me, Jesus says. Where? Beginning in Jerusalem. That's where the book of Acts begins. We've been talking about the first church in Jerusalem. Remember a couple of months ago, one of the leaders in the early church, Stephen, was martyred. He was stoned to death. He was killed. The first Christian martyr, the first one to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. And that sparked a persecution against all Christians in Jerusalem. And so for the first time, it was dangerous to be a Christian. It was illegal. And what that caused was the Christians fled. They left the city of Jerusalem. And as has happened so often throughout Christian history, God used this tragedy to triumph. He used this evil thing of men to bring about good. By the blood of the martyrs. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And it says that they went everywhere preaching the word in Judea and Samaria. And so the second phase of the book of Acts begins. Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria. And last time we looked at the book of Acts, we talked about Philip's ministry in Samaria. Now I have a map here, just to make sure we're all on the same page. You can see the southern region of Judea, there's Jerusalem. Galilee is up here, where Jesus is from. And Samaria is sandwiched right there in between, the region of Samaria. And so last time we talked about Philip's ministry in Samaria. And the third thing Jesus says is to the ends of the earth. Now I said the first thing about Philip is that he was radical. And what's interesting about Philip, what's unique about Philip in the book of Acts, is God uses him in all three. In Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Because we get to know Philip in Jerusalem. He's one of the seven leaders. You know, Stephen was first, and then Philip. He's one of the seven early leaders in the church in Jerusalem. He's a witness for Jesus in Jerusalem. And then as a result of the persecution, Philip, as well as other Christians, are scattered. And we talked about Philip goes to Samaria. And this morning we have the story of Philip preaching the gospel to a man from Ethiopia. You know what's interesting is that the Greeks and the Romans said, or they believed, that Ethiopia was the end of the world. Now, the ancient kingdom of Ethiopia, I think I have a map of this one as well. Yes. Excuse me. In ancient times, Ethiopia was known as Kush. You can see it's just south of Egypt. The Greeks and the Romans called Ethiopia the end of the world. Homer mentioned in his Odyssey that the Ethiopians are the last men. They're on the edge of the world. So Luke, you can imagine when Luke records this story of Philip sharing the gospel with a man from Ethiopia, what he's saying is the gospel is going out to the end of the earth. So think about it. Philip started in Jerusalem, then he went to Samaria, and now preaching the gospel to this Ethiopian, he's going to the ends of the earth. He is a powerful witness of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I say that Philip was radical is because he was willing to cross national boundaries to share the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when Philip went to Samaria, that would have been very controversial. I'm not going to go into all the history. You may be familiar. But the Jews despised the Samaritans. It has a lot to do with their history. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans as half-breeds, idolaters, like Gentiles. So when Philip goes and preaches Jesus to them, that's controversial. He got a lot of flack, criticism from the church members in Jerusalem. That's why they sent James and John, Peter and John down. Check out what's going on. How could Philip preach the gospel to the Samaritans? But you see, Philip was radical. He didn't care. He was willing to share the gospel with anyone who was willing to listen. Amen. And now we see Philip crossing ethnic barriers. In the video, we saw that the Ethiopian was black. And we could be fairly certain that this Ethiopian eunuch, this man from Ethiopia, was black. He was African. We can also be fairly certain that he was a Gentile. So think about it. Philip not only brings the gospel to the Samaritans, these people whom the Jews despised and looked down upon, but then he goes and God uses him to preach the gospel to a black African Gentile man. That's radical, isn't it? What about you? Are you radical for Jesus? Are you willing to do controversial things? To take risks in order to share the love of Jesus Christ with those who are willing to listen? Are you willing to cross barriers, boundaries, borders to share the love of Jesus with others? One of the reasons why God used Philip so mightily is because he was radical. Are you radical? for Jesus. You know, when I was in Austria, I went through a training with a missionary to China named Ying Kai. He does training called Training for Trainers, T4T. God used him to do amazing things in China. Thousands of churches planted, millions of people being baptized. It's unbelievable. Now he goes around and does a lot of training. One of the things that he emphasized was share the gospel with everyone. Don't choose. Don't choose. Aren't we very superficial in our judgment of people? You know, we look at people and we say, oh, that person looks nice. I think I'm going to talk to him. I think I'm going to tell him about Jesus. Oh, that person, they look mean. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to talk to them about Jesus. When we have no idea, do we know their hearts? Do we see their hearts? We judge based on superficial judgment. The nicest looking person could chew you out when you tell them about Jesus. And the meanest looking dude in town could fall on his knees and start weeping at the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So share the gospel with everyone. Don't choose, because you don't know. You just don't know how people are going to respond. Leave their response between them and the Lord, but you share with them. You know, I've been doing jail ministry for a few months now. And if there's one thing I've learned in jail ministry, it's don't judge based on appearances. Amen? Charles, can I get an amen? Where's Charles in here? Charles has been doing prison ministry for many years, and it's exciting to see more people in our church join with him. I'd encourage you, if you get involved in jail ministry, prison ministry, it's great. I've learned a lot. But you can imagine, there's some scary-looking people in jail, right? And I've learned, don't judge on appearances. Sometimes people walk into my class and I, you know, kind of get scared. Other times, other people walk into my class and I think, this guy looks like my next door neighbor, you know. How could he be in jail, you know? And every week I do a Bible study and I conclude the Bible study with a time of prayer, and I invite everyone there to, you know, the ABCs of salvation. We talk about the ABCs, right? Admit, believe, and confess. I lead them in a prayer of salvation. And it's every week. It's amazing to see many of them praying out loud to receive the Lord Jesus. So don't judge people based on outward appearances. Don't choose whom to share the gospel with, but be radical. Be radical for Jesus. Be willing to cross boundaries, borders, barriers, to share the love of Jesus with whoever will listen. Amen? Well, I want to talk about something else I see with Philip. And that's that Philip was responsive. Number two is Philip was responsive. Look with me at verse 26 in our story. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.'" In verse 26, the beginning of our story, it says an angel appeared to Philip. Whether it was in real life or a dream or a vision, we do not know. But an angel spoke to Philip and said, "Go. Go down to Gaza, the road between Jerusalem and Gaza." I think I have to go back here. So Gaza, you can see, Samaria is up here, Jerusalem here. Gaza is down over here. You see that on the coast? Southern coast. Now imagine that. You're Philip. You're in Samaria. And you are experiencing hundreds of people believing in Jesus Christ, getting baptized. Churches are being started. People are growing in their faith. This is awesome, right? This is what every pastor dreams of. Then all of a sudden, an angel comes to you and says, "Get up and go to the middle of nowhere." What? Really? You want me to go to some barren desert wasteland? I'm right here in the middle of ministry. So many people are, their lives are being changed and they're being baptized and they're following Jesus, and you want me to get up and leave it all and go to the middle of the desert? But that's what I mean when I say Philip was responsive. One of the reasons why God used Philip so mightily is that he was obedient. When God spoke to Philip, he responded. When God led Philip, he followed. And that's a challenge for you and for me. Are we responsive to God, to his leading in our lives? Let me get back to where I am. You know, it's easy for me to obey God when I agree with him. Amen? It's easy for me to follow God when he makes sense, when everything lines up. But it's hard for me to follow God when it doesn't make any sense, when his instructions, his leading seems foolish to me. And even, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when God tells me to do something that's exactly what I don't want to do, then that's when it becomes difficult to follow him. Do I trust God then? When it makes no sense, even when it's exactly what I don't want to do, do I trust God enough to do what he wants me to do? One of the reasons why God used Philip so mightily is because he was responsive. And we see this again in verse 29. If you look at verse 29, you know, Philip obeys. It says he rose up and went. He didn't argue with the angel. He didn't argue with God. He just got up and went to Gaza. And we saw the story. We know the story. He in the middle of the desert, he sees this chariot, this Ethiopian man. And it says in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip hears the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to him, go to that chariot. And it says in verse 30, then Philip ran. I love that. When God told Philip, go, he ran. Isn't that a great example?
Amen.
For you and for me? Is that how we're like? When God tells you to go, do you stand there and argue and deliberate and question? Philip ran. He was responsive. And I think, you know, if an angel appeared to me and told me to do something, I'd probably do it. But what about the Holy Spirit within? Isn't that a little bit more difficult? I don't know about you, but when I feel God prompting me to do something, my response is often not to run in obedience. My response is often to question, to start wondering, God, is that really you speaking to me? Is that really you? Are you responsive to the voice of God's Holy Spirit? And I think in our modern day and age, it's becoming increasingly difficult to hear the voice of God. You know, in our modern society, we're encouraged to be busier and busier and busier, right? Us and our kids and all these appointments on the calendar. And what happens? Whenever we get a spare moment, what do? Take out our phone and start to scroll through and check our Facebook and our Twitter and LinkedIn and our texts and our emails. There's never a dull moment, right? Every single minute, every single second of our lives, we're distracted. We're inundated with all kinds of voices in our world. And I think that does not help us. It hinders us from being sensitive to God's voice. Because God says, be still and know that I am God. I think it's increasingly difficult in our day and age to be still. And for me personally, in my life as a disciple of Jesus, that's what I'm trying to cultivate in my own life, is to learn how to be still throughout my busy day, to learn how to cultivate that ear, that inner ear, that spiritual ear that is more sensitive to God's leading, to his voice. What about you? Are you sensitive to the voice of God's Spirit? Like Philip, are you obedient? Do you follow the leading of his Holy Spirit? And as we learn to be responsive to him, to be obedient to his leading, to his voice, God is going to use us increasingly as a witness, just like he did with Philip. I want to look at the third and the final point that I want to make in this text, the third way in which I see Philip is a great example for us. The third thing I see in this text is that Philip was ready. He was ready. He was ready to share the good news with others. That's one of the reasons why God could use Philip, because he was ready. We know the story. Philip comes up to the chariot. He asks, Philip sees that this eunuch is reading from Isaiah, the Old Testament, the Bible. And he asks the man, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so they begin to read. And it just so happens that the eunuch is reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, I think there's about 929 chapters in the Old Testament. Out of all the chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is perhaps the clearest chapter about the suffering, the atonement, the death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. That's what Isaiah 53 tells us. You talk about a divine encounter. Amen? Philip just happens to come upon this man as he's reading the Old Testament. And the eunuch, Isaiah 53, very clear chapter about Jesus' suffering and his death for your sin, for your salvation. And so the eunuch asks Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? What a great opportunity. What a golden opportunity, a divine encounter to share the gospel. And it says in verse 35, it says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip was ready. It's the third thing I notice about Philip in this text. God gave Philip an opportunity to share with this man who was open to the message of Jesus Christ. And Philip saw that opportunity and he seized upon it. He jumped on it. The man says, who is this Scripture talking about? And Philip uses this Scripture. He was ready to talk about Isaiah 53. He was ready to use Isaiah 53 to talk about other passages of Scripture. He was ready to share the gospel, the good news, with this man. What about you? Are you ready to share your faith with others? I love the way Peter put it in 1 Peter 3:15. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I love that. Peter says, hey, Christian, always be prepared. Are you always prepared? Be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer. Why do you believe in Jesus? What do you believe? Are you ready to explain why you believe in Jesus? Are you ready to tell someone, explain to someone what you believe? Peter says, always be ready to tell someone about the hope. What hope? The hope of heaven, right? The hope of Jesus in us. Are you always ready? That's why it's important for us to study. That's why it's important for us to have a relationship with Christ so that we're ready. Are you ready? You know, as a pastor, I often hear things like, well, if I had more training, I just need more training, then I can share my faith with others. Anyone ever felt like that before? I just need some more training. I need some more knowledge. You know, I have a confession to make. I feel oftentimes like I need more training before I can share the gospel with others, okay? And I'm your pastor. You know, I have a degree in theology. But I still feel nervous when I share my faith with others. I still get these feelings of fear. I don't know if it's ever going to go away. As a disclaimer, you know, we need to study. We need to be prepared. But we're never going to get to a place where we are perfectly prepared for every situation. Amen? So don't wait until some fictitious point in the future when you are doctor, professor, whatever, and ready for everything that could come your way. Start now. Do you believe in Jesus? Has Jesus changed your life? Then share that. And you know what? It's okay to say, I don't know, right? If you don't know the answer to the question, say, I don't know. And it will prompt you to go home and study so that next time you do know. You know, Sandra Tanner gave some lectures in our church. They're online if you would like to listen to them. I'd encourage you. Mormonism in Light of the Bible. You know, if there's anybody who knows something about Mormonism and the Bible, it's Sandra. And yet, during the question and answer time, so often she gave us these amazing answers. But I remember at least one occasion, there was someone that asked a question and she didn't know. You know what her answer was? That's outside my research. So If someone asks you a question and you want to sound sophisticated, instead of saying, I don't know, just say, well, sorry, but that's outside my research. It's okay to say, I don't know. Or to say, if you want to sound smart, that's outside my research. But don't wait until you know everything to share. You can start today. One of the reasons why God used Philip so mightily was because Philip was ready to share the gospel. As Peter says, always be prepared. So what about you? Are you ready to share the gospel? Well, I'd like to conclude my message this morning. We talked about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts this morning. And in particular, we looked at three ways in which Philip is a great example for us of personal evangelism. First of all, Philip was radical. God used Philip to spread the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth because he was radical. He was willing to take risks. He took the gospel to the Samaritans. He took the gospel to the Africans, Gentiles. He was willing to be controversial, cross borders, cross barriers, just so that he could lead people to become followers of Jesus Christ. What about you? Are you radical for Jesus? Are you willing to take risks? Are you willing to do controversial things, to cross boundaries, just so that people can hear the gospel and follow him? The second thing we talked about was that Philip was responsive. God used Philip because he was obedient to God's call. Philip was sensitive to God's voice and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. How about you? Are you responsive to God? Do you obey God even when his instructions seem foolish, or even if his instructions are contrary to what you want? Are you sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life? We talked about how difficult it is in our busy day and age. Every minute we're distracted. How hard it is to hear the voice, the gentle whisper of God. Are you sensitive to God's voice, the leading of his Holy Spirit, and do you follow after him? The third thing about Philip in this story that I notice is that he was ready. One of the reasons why God used Philip was because he was ready at any time to share the gospel. Are you ready to share the hope that is in you at any time, when it's convenient and when it's not? We need to study in order to be ready. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And yet, disclaimer, don't wait until some point in the future where you're perfect to start sharing your faith. Just share what you know right now. If you don't know it, just say, that's outside my research. But start now. Be ready to share with others. Jesus saved us. Amen? Amen. He's done so much for us. Don't we want others to know that? To experience the same love? To experience the same grace, the same forgiveness that we have experienced through him? I believe God will use us like he did Philip when we're radical for him, when we're responsive to his leading, and when we're ready to share his gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you've called us to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the book of Acts. The book of Acts is such a great example to us, Philip in particular, of what it means to be your witness. Thank you for this story. We're grateful for the amazing accounts of your ministry to the multitudes. But Lord, I thank you especially for this story of Philip sharing with a single person. And I know that every one of us in here knows at least one person who needs to hear about you, who needs to hear our Jesus story. So Lord, help us to be like Philip. Lord, we want to be your witnesses. Of course, you may use us, you may use some of us to preach the gospel to multitudes, but Lord, I pray you would use us to reach the individuals around us, our neighbors, friends, family members, co-workers. Help us to be radical for you, Lord. You were radical for us. Help us to be responsive, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice and to obey when you call us, when you speak to us. Lord, I pray that we would be ready, that we would study to be prepared. And yet, wherever we're at in our walk with you, that we would be ready to share. Lord, use us to be your witnesses here in Salt Lake City, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.